don't stare directly at the sun. We are told that from a young age, but I feel when it comes to Trinity Sunday, we're attempting to do just that. To stare directly at the brilliant, blinding, dazzling light of God in this attempt to understand God as Trinity. And I dare say it is a dangerous thing to try and describe God. In fact, preachers all over the world on this Trinity Sunday struggle. It is always the joke, like, who has to preach on Trinity Sunday? And it's because we all fear falling into heresy, right? Heresy is just false teaching, wrong teaching. And our seminary professors ensure us that almost everything we say is heretical. So it's very nerve-wracking. At the same time, you may have been asked by people, like, what is the Trinity? And I have to tell you, I get this question a lot. People want me to explain the Trinity. So it is good to have some kind of response. I mean, you know, especially if you're clergy. And we could try, I think, and offer different explanations of how God could possibly be one God and three persons, right? We may try maybe using mathematical equations. I like to call it Trinitarian math. And I'm horrible at math, by the way. Did not get that one. But Trinitarian math, I actually, I'm so bad, I have it written and I still got it wrong at 8 o'clock how to do this equation. But okay, let's try anyway. So it is not, Trinitarian math doesn't work if it's just 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3, right? That doesn't work because we're back to 3 again. But what about 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. Yeah, that might work. That might be a way to talk about it. Good Trinitarian math. Maybe we could use imagery from our creed, right? Our ancient creed that we say every Sunday, in which we proclaim that God is light from what? Light. God is light from light. Maybe science can help us out. Right? And we could explain the Trinity to be like the sun and the sun's light. One light source emanating three forms of light. This one's kind of fun. How about this? Ultraviolet light cannot be seen, and it cannot be felt. Maybe like God the Father? Visible light can be both seen and felt. Maybe like the sun, Jesus? And infrared light can be felt but not seen. Holy Spirit? This is fun, right? I like that metaphor. Somebody said they're going to steal it from me at the last session. Have at it if this works for you. But I have to admit, we all have to admit, I think, that the explanations fall clearly short of really capturing the essence of the Holy Trinity. And so inevitably someone, and I get this too when I try to start talking about it, they'll say, why can't you just explain it more simply? And I am going to lean on C.S. Lewis here to respond. This is what he wrote. It is no good asking for a simple religion. After all, real things are not simple. They look simple, but they are not. The table I am sitting at looks simple, but ask a scientist to tell you what it is really made of, all about atoms, and how the light waves rebound from them and hit my eye, and what they do to the optic nerve, and what that does in my brain. And of course, you find that what we call seeing a table lands us in mysteries and complications, which you can hardly get to the end of. Right? So if trying to describe, you know, seeing a table leads us into this kind of mystery, then surely seeking an explanation of God as Trinity will. So we're left in a mysterious place, which not everybody's super comfortable with. But I'd like to suggest that mystery is really important to us, not just as Episcopalians. I think Episcopalians are a little more comfortable with mystery than your average Christian, but I actually think this is key for all Christians. Perhaps that is why Jesus says these cryptic words in our gospel today when he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Right? It's as though Jesus is acknowledging that, like, any words he could give will fall short. And so we must wait upon the Holy Spirit to lead the way into deeper truths and mysteries of God. And if that's the case, then isn't it possible that the only way to truly grasp God is to go well beyond words and intellect and to experience God with our hearts and souls, to spiritually know God, not intellectually understand God? And honestly, doesn't any authentic relationship we could have with anybody involve the same embrace of the mystery of that other person and knowing them in a way that will go beyond words and go beyond descriptors? Albert Einstein said the most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science. He to whom the emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed. The insight into the mystery of life, coupled though it be with fear, has also given rise to religion. To know what is impenetrable to us really exists, manifesting itself as the highest wisdom and the most radiant beauty, which our dull faculties can comprehend only in their most primitive forms. This knowledge, this feeling, he says, is at the center of true religiousness. Wow. I agree with Einstein. My friends, mystery is a wonderful thing to be embraced. The acknowledgement that some things are simply indescribable, and mystery is at the center of our faith. The embrace of mystery allows us to let go of the need to have all the answers. It enables us to let God be as big as God really is. In other words, to let God be God, beyond our human understanding and intellect. But we have to be willing to embrace the mystery, to experience God as God is, and it requires then an open mind and heart and soul. In short, I would suggest it requires faith. Now, before I learned about the origin of the doctrine of the Trinity in seminary, I have to tell you, I had an imagination of how I thought this doctrine came about, and maybe you share the same notion. Okay, so here's what I pictured. I was like, okay, doctrine of the Trinity. That word's not even in the Bible. All right, probably a bunch of snooty old guys were sitting in a room, like a diocesan convention, and they were deciding that we will explain to the world what God is like, you know. And they use a lot of unnecessary fancy words to do it and to tell all of us regular people, you know, God is three in one and God is a Trinity. But you know what? That isn't how it happened at all. It was so exciting when I really studied and delved into this particular part of church history. I found out the origin of the concept of the Trinity was the opposite of that. There are, of course, hints of it in the Bible, although it is never like fully fleshed out, so to speak. But what happened, it was all the regular people. They were the first ones to try and describe what was later called the Trinity. It was a grassroots movement by people of the ancient church who were all experiencing God together while they worshiped and prayed and took the sacraments. And they were experiencing God spiritually as three in one, as God living within them as the Holy Spirit. And as God loving and knowing them as creator, as father, and as they were experiencing and communing with God in and through their relationship with Jesus. It was the body of all the faithful people of God gathering together in community to worship and to have a relationship with God that first tried to describe God as Trinity. It was all the old churchy guys who had the really hard task of then trying to describe and put into words this amazing, ineffable spiritual experience, right? The church knew God is revealed in the Bible as one God, and yet there they all are. We are experiencing God in three ways, in three persons, in this context of genuine relationship. And so the struggle for the church in putting together the doctrine of the Trinity was not a struggle of trying to describe intellectual knowledge. It was a struggle to put into words a spiritual experience and relationship. And if that's the case, then why do we think today we could possibly know or understand God by simply reading some words or choosing to describe God when that is ultimately indescribable? So you see the problem with preaching on the Trinity. So what's the take home for us? Because I think there is a really important one here. I think the take home is that there's an invitation here. The invitation of Trinity Sunday is not for us to finally understand the Trinity. It is an invitation into a relationship based on faith to embrace with open hearts and souls this experience of God, this mysterious, ineffable God who has been revealed in three persons as pure love. You have been invited into a relationship with God, not into an intellectual assent, not into a I believe in God moment, no. You have been invited into a dynamic relationship of love already being shared among the three persons of the Trinity in self-giving, each one revealing God to us in a unique and personal way. And so we are invited not only to share in that life of the divine, of love and relationship, but then to become, of course, a reflection of that love to others. So on this Trinity Sunday, we are invited to embrace the mystery of God in faith, to say yes to the invitation to a relationship of love with the divine, with the Holy Trinity, and to let go of trying to stare into the sun and explain it, and instead just experience the love of God in, by, through, and for you. Thanks be to God.